Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Monday, June 12th. You know, one of the most damning pieces of evidence cited in the classified documents, false statements, and conspiracy to obstruct justice indictment against Donald Trump can be summed up by this New York Post headline on Friday. Trump admitted on tape he didn't declassify secret military documents he kept. I'll read it again, and remember, this is the New York Post. Trump admitted on tape he didn't declassify secret military documents he kept. And he didn't just keep them. The tape, if you haven't heard about it yet, is a recording of him telling someone, quote, "This is secret information. Look, look at this. This was done by the military and given to me." That's a quote. Again, he said flat out, "This is secret information." And then, "Look, look at this. This was done by the military and given to me." So the context, according to the indictment, is Trump trying to argue to a writer working on a book for publication, no less, Trump trying to argue that he was right about something and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was wrong. But he made that argument to the writer, allegedly, by revealing a classified document about the U.S. military's planning for a possible attack on another country, a document that was still classified. The country was Iran, by the way, according to CNN. So that's one little stretch of the 38-count, 49-page indictment. Of course, there is the law, there are the facts, and then there are the politics. Just like many people believe Trump's stolen election lie, many Republicans are lining up to argue without evidence that this indictment is nothing more than Joe Biden trying to harm his likely opponent in next year's election. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, with the power that he has, is also vowing to use Congress to investigate the investigators. And here is Speaker McCarthy arguing that this is selective prosecution.
This is a very dark day in America. When you think about what they're trying to indict President Trump on, you've got a sitting president right now in the exact same situation. You have a former first lady, senator, secretary of state that had the same situation that nothing was done to her.
Kevin McCarthy there, and we'll discuss that specific claim, but there's a lot more to this than did Trump commit these crimes or didn't he? He can be elected president again, even if he's in prison serving time for a felony. Did you know that? The law allows that. So the underlying question, as it has been for 8 years now, I think, remains how much are Donald Trump and his movement to discredit the foundations of democracy, that movement to discredit foundations like honest election certification and not enabling white supremacist violence for political gain, how much will those democratic foundations crumble into something more like Trump's ally Vladimir Putin has in Russia? With me right now, Democratic Congressman Dan Goldman of Brooklyn and Manhattan. You'll remember that before being elected to Congress, he was the Democratic Party's lead counsel in the first Trump impeachment, the one involving Ukraine and Trump's effort to threaten President Zelensky there with not helping defend them against Russia unless Zelensky announced he was launching an investigation of Joe Biden. Remember that? How quickly we forget. Before that, Goldman was an assistant U.S. attorney for 10 years in the Southern District of New York, covering Manhattan and other parts of the area. Congressman, thank you for joining us today. Welcome back to WNYC.
My pleasure, Brian. It's great to be with you.
Let me start on what I think is one of the most important facts in the indictment. Trump is not charged with taking the documents in the first place. He's only charged with willful retention and deceptively hiding the documents that he kept after the National Archives asked for them back and after an actual subpoena was issued for the return of some of them. For all the, I think the number is 197 documents he did return voluntarily, there are no charges, even if he was wrong to take them to Florida at all or to New Jersey and store them in a non-secure manner. How central is that to an understanding of this case?
Look, I think it's really important. According to the indictment, the investigation began 14 months after he left the Oval Office. And we know that the National Archives had been repeatedly requesting that he return the documents, the classified documents, some of which he did return. The thrust here and the quote you talked about from the indictment, I think, really says it all. The thrust here is whether or not he knowingly and intentionally took the documents from the White House. There is no question that at some point he learned that he had them. And instead of simply returning them to the government, because they are the government's property, just as Joe Biden did, just as Mike Pence did, he instead entered into a somewhat convoluted and aggressive scheme to keep the documents. Now, it would be one thing if he only just kept the documents, but what this indictment alleges is exactly the reason why we don't want people to have classified information in unclassified settings. He started showing the most sensitive military and intelligence secrets to those individuals or other individuals who do not have the clearances to review them. That is exactly the problem here, is that it is, as Kevin McCarthy said, it is a dark day. But it is a dark day because the former president of the United States had such disregard for our national security and the men and women who work in our military and our intelligence community every day to obtain the critical secret information that protects our country. And that is why it's a dark day. And this indictment is incredibly damning, laying out exactly how Donald Trump completely disregarded our national security.
You heard the clip of Speaker McCarthy there arguing that this is selective prosecution because Hillary Clinton was not charged with what McCarthy argues was a similar act. As a presidential candidate, to refresh people's memory, Clinton submitted about 30,000 emails, some with classified information kept on her non-secure private server, but also deleted about 30,000 emails based on her own judgment of what was relevant to her job as Secretary of State or not, with no independent review. And McCarthy says that was no different from what Trump did, keeping documents based on his judgment, but now he's under indictment for it, which Clinton never was. Does McCarthy have a point?
No, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's not a defense to what Donald Trump did, and it will not be allowed to be raised in court. But even so, if we're going to talk about it from a political perspective, what Secretary Clinton did, and there was simply no evidence that she knowingly and intentionally concealed classified information when she was asked to return the information. And when you have high-level cabinet and presidential vice presidents who get routine and regular access to classified information in unusual ways. The president's daily briefing, as an example, is brought to the Oval Office very frequently, and it has all sorts of classified information, but you're not looking at it in a SCIF, in a secured compartmental information place. You're looking at it in the Oval Office. And so there is the possibility that information is disseminated in unusual ways. The difference here is that Donald Trump didn't return the documents when he was asked to do so. And he not only didn't return, but he obstructed the FBI's efforts to obtain the documents by lying to his lawyers, by scheming with this Walt Nauta, his butler or whoever, valet, to hide the documents from his attorney and therefore from the FBI. And we wonder why he did that. And I think that is somewhat of an open question in the indictment that I expect we will learn about more. But there is such specific and damning evidence against Donald Trump, but that there was not with Secretary Clinton. Now, to be clear, and I think Director James Comey said it best, Secretary Clinton was reckless in dealing with that information. But recklessness is not a sufficient standard to charge someone criminally. You have to have what higher mens rea of knowing and intentional conduct.
Here's one more McCarthy clip from the other day. And you mentioned just now the SCIF, that secure room where people sometimes go to look at classified documents. McCarthy here references President Biden having been found to have classified documents outside the skiff, but with no consequences. Here's McCarthy again.
What's even worse upon this, this is a leading contender to run for office with an administration of a current president that has the exact same documents. Even worse from the aspect, there are documents that President Biden has that he had when he was a senator. I know from being part of the Gang of Eight, you do not remove any documents from the skiff. So how does he even have the possibility of a document from the Senate? You've got to treat people equally.
So, Congressman Goldman, your reaction to that, including how Biden would have wound up with such documents in his personal possession in the first place, if they're supposed to be viewed only in the skiff, that private classified screening room. I think the Judiciary Committee Chair, Jim Jordan, is calling for a special counsel to be appointed to investigate the Biden documents and how they got to Delaware and other places.
Well, first of all, there is a special counsel. Special Counsel Robert Hur has been appointed by the Justice Department pursuant to the special counsel regulations, just like Jack Smith was. And the reason these special counsel regulations exist is to solve for the false accusations that the speaker just made, which is a special counsel is independent from the political appointees at the top of the Justice Department. And if the Attorney General is going to disagree with any recommendations by the special counsel, he must notify Congress very specifically as to what those objections were and why. So there is an independence, and Speaker McCarthy is wrong. The obvious distinction here between the conduct of President Biden and the conduct of former President Trump is that when those documents, those classified documents, were discovered by President Biden's team, they immediately reached out to the authorities to turn them over pursuant to proper protocols. He is not trying to keep them. He is not trying to conceal them. He is not obstructing justice in order to keep them. And that's exactly your point at the very beginning of our conversation, which is President Trump is not charged with any of those documents that he did return to the archives voluntarily. He's only charged with the ones that he, for whatever reason, decided that he was going to deceptively conceal and maintain in his possession. And so if Donald Trump had acted as Vice President Pence did, and who has already been absolved of any potential criminal charges, then he likely would not be charged. But he didn't do that. And that's why ultimately he's charged. Now, there's a special counsel looking into this exact question of whether there were documents from his Senate days, what they were. We just have some public reporting on that, and it's unclear whether that's true or not. But I do hope that that special counsel will do a thorough investigation, because that is what the rule of law requires. Mm. The rule of law requires that we treat everyone equally and that no one is above the law, including a president. And that's where the Republicans' arguments fall on their face, because the rule of law makes it very clear. I mean, it is very obvious from that indictment that anyone else in America would be charged criminally with that conduct. And so what they're basically saying is that Donald Trump is the exception, that he is above the law if he should, because they argue he should not be charged. That's not how our system works. That's not how the rule of law works. And that is 100% incorrect. And so if Joe Biden is found to have willfully and knowingly concealed classified information and showed it to individuals who do not have security clearance, jeopardizing our national security, then he should also be charged with a crime.
If that piece of the indictment that I cited in the intro is true, then Trump did show classified information about a possible attack by the United States on Iran to a writer to help defend himself politically against something that the Joint Chiefs of Staff had said about Trump perhaps wanting to attack Iran. So it seems like he succumbed to a temptation to use this still classified material. That wasn't even a document that he said he declassified as president. That came later. So it seems like one of the worst things he may have done here is succumb to temptation to use a still classified document to make a political point to a journalist in his defense. Do you think I'm reading that right?
I don't know whether he succumbed to temptation and showed it. I think that what I suspect from my 10 years of experience as a prosecutor is that the two examples where he showed highly classified information to people who did not have security clearances were likely not the only times that he did that. And the reason why I say that is that the special counsel needs to be able to prove with admissible evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that he did that. And oftentimes you don't have that level of proof with other instances when he did it. But this is very consistent with what I found during the impeachment investigation and what we've seen from Donald Trump throughout his political career. He just has no regard for the law. He thinks he is above the law. He has escaped accountability his entire life. And he just doesn't think that it applies to him. And he especially doesn't think that it applies to him if he's the president of the United States. He believes that his personal interest is synonymous with the national interest, and he has demonstrated a clear disregard for the law in any number of ways, including the first impeachment, including the second impeachment, and the ongoing investigation related to January 6th, including campaign finance laws that have now been and he's now been charged with violating in the Manhattan District Attorney's office. So who knows what he did with those documents? But it is clear from the allegations, the very specific allegations, that he showed still classified information to people without security clearance. That is, it could potentially be very damaging to our national security. And I would just add, Brian, you read part of the transcript of that recording, but that recording makes incredibly clear that Donald Trump said and knew that those documents he was showing were still classified. He said that if he were president, he could declassify them, but because he was no longer the president, he did not have that authority. And it is crystal clear from that indictment that those documents had not been declassified while he was president, and he knew that. And so we will hear arguments from Republicans, especially in the House, that he declassified all these documents before he left. A recording in Donald Trump's own voice is directly to the contrary of that assertion.
We have just a couple of minutes left with Congressman Dan Goldman from Brooklyn and Manhattan. And remember, he was the Democratic counsel in the first Trump impeachment, as well as an assistant U.S. Attorney for 10 years before that. Following up on what you just said, from what I've seen, Trump is not charged with using any classified information to purposely hurt the United States, nor does the indictment allege any motive. By contrast, the spy Robert Hansen just died last week. This was in the news, the former FBI agent who took classified information and sold it to Russia. That clearly compromised U.S. national security. Can you argue that any damage was done here or that Trump did anything nefarious other than simply keeping the documents and maybe trying to show a writer in that one case that a claim the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman made about him in Iran wasn't true? And if not, is it worth putting the country through the challenge to the rule of law that will flow from this for what might be relatively minor infractions?
Well, I disagree with the assertion that these are relatively minor infractions. I think it shows a dangerous disregard for our most highly secretive and classified information. And as I said earlier, this is only what we know. There may be much other stuff that we don't know. There certainly were a number of other documents that he went to great lengths to keep. And the question then becomes why? It doesn't make any sense for him to go to such great lengths to keep military plans that no doubt were prepared by the Joint Chiefs of Staff at Donald Trump's direction, because he is the one who ultimately declares war with Congress's consent, or he would take military action. The military does not go to him to say, sir, we should really attack Iran in your last 3 weeks in office. That's an absurd concept. But Donald Trump, by the conduct that we see here, demonstrates his willingness to show information of the highest classified information. And we don't know what his conversations are with the Saudis or with other foreign governments. But clearly he was placating the Saudis. He was placating Vladimir Putin while he was president. So it's not far-fetched, even though the indictment does not allege it, that he would show that incredibly classified and secretive and important information to foreigners or foreign leaders, not just reporters or members of his political action committee. The fact that he went to such great lengths to hold on to it begs the question, why?
Congressman Dan Goldman from Brooklyn and Manhattan, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.